Blog Talk Radio.
Ask the person next to you, would you still say yes? Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? There is more that I require of thee. Will your heart and soul say yes? Now will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? Yes. If I told you what I really now will your heart and soul say yes, yes? Will your spirit still say yes? God is saying, there is more that I require of thee. Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? If I told you what I really need from would your heart and soul say yes? So just say
yes.
Open up your
heart
and tell the Lord yes. This time I'm made up in my mind. I'm made up in my mind. I'll say
yeah.
My soul says yes, Jesus. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. He's saying there's more that I require of thee. There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place. Say it. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. 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 I'm calling you. I predestined you before the world began to do my will. To do. Gonna tell God yes. Make it personal. Your worship means nothing without a yes. Without obedience, it means nothing. But if you're really gonna tell God yes, come on. Make it personal. Lift your hand. Tell the Lord yes. Soul says yes. I'll do what you want me to do, Jesus. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I might have to give up some relationships, but my soul says yes. I might have to give up some things that I hold dear to me, but my soul says yes. You mean everything to me, Jesus. You're the first and foremost in my life.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, we just thank you right now, God. Father God, we just praise you and worship you, and we just magnify your name, Father. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. How many got a yes in your spirit tonight? Tell the Lord yes tonight. Yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Father. Yes to your instructions. Yes to your plan, God. Someone said, I may have to give up some relationships, but my soul says yes. I want to give up some things that I hold dear to me, but my soul says yes. How many tonight that you can say the Lord mean the world to you? You mean everything to me, Jesus. You mean everything to me, Father God. You're the first and foremost in my life, and that's why I can say yes. I can say yes when you tell them you want to take me higher. I can say yes when you say there's more that you have in store for me. I can say yes when to the calling and to the election that you have chosen me for. I can say yes, God, to your ministry, even if it brings me misery. God, I begin to praise you for it, and I worship you, and I magnify your name, God. Father, we just begin to just go into an atmosphere of praise tonight, Father. For you are worthy of all the praise, God. Hallelujah. Begin to praise your God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You didn't have to do it, but you did. Someone said, I don't know why my Jesus loved me. I don't even know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life for me. Oh, but I'm glad. So glad he did. I'm so glad he did. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say I've been blessed, and I got a testimony. You have a testimony. You have a story to tell. And the glory belongs to God. See, even when we are now in California, I woke up to some news where 12 individuals was murdered in a little country, little kid club, a white man went inside and just randomly shot people. But you didn't, none of us was involved in any of that. Some people laid their head to their pillow last night and didn't wake up. Some people didn't even get to their bed last night. But that's not our portion this morning or this evening. So we can praise God. That was not our portion there. Then we were able to wake up, and we woke up with fresh blood running warm through our veins. We woke up with the activity of our limbs. We woke up with our joy in our hearts. We woke up to praise him. We said, let everything that have breath praise you, the Lord. We woke up with an attitude of gratitude. And God, I thank you right now, God, because we move, we live, and we have our being because he lives. We can face tomorrow because he lives. We can face today. Hallelujah. And we say yes. If he say, go feed the homeless, we yes, Lord God. He told Peter, he said, do you love me? Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my flock. Feed my sheep. I had God saying to you this tonight, do you love me? And you said, yes, Lord, you know I love you, Lord. We easily say that with our lip service, but our heart. He's saying, now show me your heart that you love me. And begin to feed my flock, feed my sheep. Don't continue to fleece my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my flock. Don't continue to rape my and pillage my sheep, but I need you to feed them. Hallelujah. I need you to love them. He said, oh, I will gather you under my wings and hold you and keep you, and ye would not. See, how many know that that would not eventually turn to a cannot? Oh, God, we just thank you right now, God. We're just going to praise you right now, God. Oh, God, we thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes to your will, God. Yes to your way. See, I got a lot of things that God has put on my plate recently, but God, if you say no, God, I say yes, God, to your will. Yes to your plan. Yes to your instructions. Oh, God, I thank you right now. Friends may come and friends may go. But if you lead me, God, I'll follow. Family may come and family may go. But if you lead me, God, I'll follow. Hallelujah. Money come, money go, but if you lead me, God, I follow. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Lord, I need you, Lord. God, I need you, oh, I need you. And I thank you, Lord, for putting me in a position to begin to trust you even more so. So say, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever seen, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And that's where I'm at tonight. I'm learning, church. I'm learning body of Christ. I'm learning people of God, saints of God, women and men in God and of God. I'm learning to lean on him. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, but all things acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will establish your path. And that's why I'm learning to allow him to be a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. I'm learning to say, the Lord is my rock and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my shepherd. I'm learning, hallelujah, to lean on him as Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, Jehovah Nisi, my bounty, my victory. Oh, I'm learning, I'm learning, I'm learning. Shalom, the God of peace that passes by all my understanding, the peace that makes complete and whole. I'm learning, saints of God, I'm learning how to lean on him just by saying yes. We give you honor tonight, Father. We give you honor, God, for who you are in our lives and what you represent and who we are because of who you are. We found ourselves in you. We found our identity in you because you said you made man in your likeness and after your image, God. So we just begin to thank you for it, God. We give you honor, God, for it's due you. We give honor to all, everyone that's in here under the sound of my voice, God, and every loved one that's represented, Father. We give special honor to my brother Jesse Storr and his lovely queen, the evangelist Tammy Storr, who... The reason why we have this opportunity, we have been afforded this opportunity to come forth in the ministry of giving what God has given us to share. And we just begin to thank God for it. I thank God for Apostle Rosa Honor, who's my earthly mother, who God has put in my life. God has allowed this woman to give me birth. And man, she's a powerful woman of God, and I just begin to thank God for her. And none the least, I thank God for my queen, my lovely queen, the evangelist Maria Flynn, whose voice you'll be hearing next. With words of inspiration, we just begin to thank God for all of the ministers and men and women of God that comes on this show on the line with us. And you give us strength and you encourage us to continue to do what God has called us to do so we can say yes to your will, Lord, yes to your way, yes to your plan, yes to your desire. In Jesus' mighty name, so it is. Prepare your hearts and your ears and your mind to receive some wonderful word of inspiration from none other than my queen, Evangelist Maria Flint.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Just giving honor to God, who's definitely the head of my life. And just want to thank God for another night, another opportunity to be in his presence and the ability and the opportunity to come before you all with words of inspiration. And tonight, God is led to say the importance of affirmations. Affirming God's word over yourself and others is crucial because it speaks life into your spirit, body, and soul. Take to heart the forthcoming scriptures and you will understand the importance of speaking out loud all or some of the following scriptures over yourself every day. If you speak negative over yourself and others, you are speaking the words of the enemy, and those words will hold you in bondage. Faith comes more quickly when you hear yourself quoting, speaking, and saying the things God said. You will more readily receive God's word into your spirit by hearing yourself say it out loud every day than you will hear someone else say it.
Hearing yourself speak the word of God out loud every day for 30 days would change your life. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and 17. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18 and 21. Applied for the tongue. The Amplified says, for the tongue can kill or nourish life. Proverbs 18 and 21. Affirmations that, or here are some of the affirmations that we can start declaring over our lives daily. I declare that through God, the battle is already won. 1 Samuel 17 and 47. I declare that my God is preserving what he has ordained for me, and he will lead me into it. Malachi 3:11, Joshua 1:1-6, Psalms 140 and 4, and Ephesians 2 and 10. I declare that we have won the victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. I believe God has sent his word, and it will not return void. Isaiah 55 and 11. I declare that God has anointed us to do his will. Hebrews 13 and 21. I declare that God has given us divine healing and divine life. Matthew 8:2-3. I expect God's mercy and grace on me today. Lamentations 3:22-23. I expect God's favor and blessings on me today. Psalms 5 and 12. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Psalms 118 and 17. And I'm going to dedicate that scripture to my daughter's co-worker who found out that her father has prostate cancer. So that scripture is going to Mrs. Cox's father. He will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I believe God has given me his abundant life. John 10 and 10. Declarations only work if we are in right standing with the Lord. So tonight I challenge you to get your life right with God, be in right standing with the Lord. Declare these things over your life. Speak over your life, because power is in the life, power of the tongue. The power is in the life of the tongue. Well, we thank God for these affirmations. We ask that you know, speak favor over your life. Speak and command your days, command your nights, command your month, your year, command your life in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We thank God for you, man. That was a powerful word, very powerful word. And command your morning, and command your evening, command your night. And like she said, the life and death is in the power of the tongue. Moving forward to the word. Well, Heavenly Father, we just begin to thank you, God, and praise you and worship you. We magnify your name. We thank you, God, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We share in your word, God. We share in your prosperity. We share, God, in the living word, God. We share, God, in abundance, Father. We share, God, in life everlasting, the eternal life that you've given us. And you've allowed us to receive the grace from your son, God. We begin to thank you right now, God, as we begin to decrease, Father, and increase, God. You will increase, Father. I decrease now, God. Let it be all of you and none of me, Father. We decrease that your Holy Spirit increase and your word, God, moves forth, God. And it accomplish what you set out for it to do, God. We give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. It's in your son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. And so it is. All right, so here we are tonight. I've been dealing with some different things in my life. And God had begun to talk to me about my wife's like, what's the topic going to be? I don't know. Then God just took me to Jeremiah 31 and said, at that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness of exile. Israel, the northern kingdom, when it went to find its rest. The Lord appeared to me. From ages past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you and continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you will be rebuilt. O virgin Israel, you will again be adorned with your tambourines and timbrels, and go out to the dances of those who celebrate. Again, you will plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters will plant and enjoy the abundant fruit and peace. For there will be a day when the watchman on the hills of Ephraim cried, "Arise and let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God." For thus says the Lord, "Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and shout for the first and foremost of the nations, the chosen people. Israel, proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel." Here's what God is saying, though. Let's go back to the third verse. He says, "Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you and continued my faithfulness to you." So if there had to be a topic for tonight, the topic will be, "With loving kindness have I drawn thee." How many can remember when God called you out of your mess and out of that dark place when you was living a certain way and God said, "Hey, I've chosen you for such a time as this. I'm calling you for a work." And you were in the midst of something. I know for me, my calling, I was always in the midst of doing things that did not please God. And he drew me out. And he said, "Live." You know what I mean? He called me out. I can remember to this day, 1998, Soperton, Georgia, Soperton County Jail. And I was in there. And everything that I used, God used it against me. Like everything, my money, bond, people that I thought I was with, you know, all was my quote-unquote partners or whatever. Nothing could help me but God. And even at that point, I mean, I had got sick and that jail was so it was a bad place. It was a really bad place. Kind of jail that you only went outside once every 6 months, and that's only time because the grand jury came in. It was a bad place, man, and it did something to you. But at one point, I was telling God, I was like, "Man, I know you're going to help me. You're going to let me out. Save me and take me in my sleep." You know, I was at that point, in a dark place, and at that point, God said, "Hey, with love and kindness have I drawn thee and continued my faithfulness to you." At that moment, I went on a 40-day fast. No bread, no water, none of that, you know. And nonetheless, in the midst of that time, God brought me out into a spacious place in him. And look what he said, "Again, I will build you when you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel. You will again be adorned with your tambourines and timbrels and go out to the dances of those who celebrate." I had a warrant in Gwinnett County, but they let me out. I sat in that county for 9 months. They were like, "Man, we ain't going to let that deal with you. You just deal with that when you later on." And they let me go home. And what I'm trying to say is that when God did it, you know, I was at a point where I was like, and he said, "You'll go out to the dances of those who celebrate." I began to sing that song called "God Has Smiled on Me. He's Been Good to Me." And I remember that when mama came and got me, my mom, my cousin, you know, the late friend. It was like, "God has smiled on me." You know what I mean? He's been good to me. And I was in a spacious place, man. And it's just something to see what God does for you when he does it and how he does it. And he's an awesome God, a magnificent, a wonderful God. And he knows. It's like, sing aloud with the gladness. You know, on the hills, even crowd, you know. And we can get to the point that we can see how what the enemy means for bad, how God turned it around for good. And God said, "Hey," he told Joshua, "everywhere your footsteps and your trod, I'm giving it to you." And I hear God saying that to us tonight, that when I restore you, nobody can shut it down. Nobody can take away what I'm giving you. When I open up doors, nobody can close the doors. But when I close certain doors, nobody can open them. Because if I close doors of wrong relationships and wrong businesses and wrong ventures, if I begin to close these doors and wrong thought patterns, wrong mindsets, you got to let that stuff stay closed. But when I begin to open you up to open up to all different types of opportunities and different, no man can shut it. That's what God is saying tonight. But God said, "With love and kindness have I drawn you and continued my faithfulness to you." I look at friends and I look at associates and I look at jobs and I look at business. These are things that you have, you know, we choose. You choose a friend. You choose a relationship. You choose a job. You may choose an opportunity. You may choose. These are things that we choose. But I look at family, and I look at, like I talked about Apostle Rosanna. I didn't choose to be birthed by this woman. I didn't choose my siblings. I didn't choose my aunts and uncles and all that. But God said, "Okay, I'm putting you in a family. I'm putting you in a position." He said, "I've drawn you from me, and I placed you in a space because this is my continued faithfulness." And I look at my queen, And I look at my children. I didn't choose any of them. But God gave me them. I'm trying to tell you, listen. I always make jokes about it, like I was bamboozled and hoodwinked by God with my wife. But this is a special woman and a special jewel that God said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. And he drew this woman out of me, and he gave her to me. That's why I named her Maria, but I call her my real. But we just begin to just understand. This is what God is saying tonight. I have drawn you. So let's look at the drawing part. If you will, if you can turn to Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. Watch this. Gonna look at how God, how awesome God is, and I want to look at you. And just when you think about where you were at this time of refreshing. Where were you when in your mess, in your messy of a messes? He said again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Son of man, make Jerusalem understand the heinous and vile nature of her repulsive, idolatrous acts, and say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, all of Israel, your spiritual origin and your birth are from the land of the Canaanites." Your spiritual father was an Amorite, and your spiritual mother a Hittite. And as for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut. Nor were you washed with water for cleansing. Nor were you rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths. No eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field, for you were loathed on the day that you were born. When I passed by you and saw you squirming in your newborn blood, I said to you, while you were there in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, while you were there in your blood, live. I made you, Israel, multiply like plants which grow in the field, and you grew up and became tall, and you reached the age of wearing fine jewelry. So your breast was formed and your hair had grown, yet you were naked and bare. But let's go to the sixth verse again. He said, when I passed by you and I saw you squirming in your newborn blood, I said to you, while you were in your mess, and in your blood, I said, live. Yes, I said to you while you were in there in your blood, I said, live. And I can hear God saying to you tonight, live. You know, it's like she just told my queen has said about my daughter's co-workers, telling the father to live, you shall live and not die, and declare the glory and the works of the Lord. So here's God saying, I'm telling you to live. I gave you an assignment. I called you, and I drew you out with love and kindness. See, for him to see you, he said nobody else had compassion or nobody else had pity on you. Nobody else looked at you this way. Nobody even saw the beauty of you. Nobody saw that you were beautiful. Nobody saw that you had a need. Or he said, no eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But when I saw you, and I saw you in your mess, and I saw you in your lying, cheating, killing, stealing mindset, when I saw you with sin, was sinful and not sinless, and when I saw you, when crooked thoughts was your thing, you said, I keep the crooked thoughts because I'm a gangster. When I saw you in your blood, George Flint, I'm telling you to live. Yes, I said to you, while you were there in your blood, live. Then I made you multiply because I began to see, here's what God is saying. But it's internal thing that I'm dealing with you. I'm guiding you. I'm turning you. I'm governing you and your heart by the Spirit. But see, there's things about this. There's elements to this to get you to this point. He said, I said to you while you were there in your blood, live. Yes, I said you live while you were there in your blood. Live, I made you multiply like plants which grow in the field. And you grew up and became tall, and you reached the age for wearing fine jewelry. Your breasts were formed and your hair had grown. Yet you were naked and bare. Then I passed by you again and looked on you. Behold, you were maturing at the time for love. And I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. How many know God covers your nakedness? Sometimes, you know, the enemy comes to make us commit spiritual adultery and spiritual suicide. Satan comes to pull us away from God. He said the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. And sometimes in the midst of those things, in the midst of those thoughts, we are exposed to different things. We are exposed to things that are not of God. We are exposed to things that draw us away from God, that grieves the Holy Spirit. But God said, at this time, I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. He said, Oh Jerusalem, how would I wish that you would be like a hen and cover the brood? And that's what I want to do. I want to cover the brood. I want to, you know, even though I step back, I cover you with my almighty wings. It said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So even under my shadow, I began to cover you. He said, yes, I covered you with my wings and covered your nakedness. Then guess what? Then I swore an oath to you and entered into covenant with you, says the Lord God, and you became mine. I mean, said the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? David, the psalmist, began to write, said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He making me lie down. The Lord is mine. And he said, and you became mine. You became my possession. You became my child. Where I allow you to say, Abba, Father, I belong to you. I gave you the spirit of adoption where you became grafted in. He said, I made a covenant with you. Then he said, I washed you with water. Yes, I thoroughly washed away from you the clinging blood and anointed you with oil. I anointed you with oil, with olive oil, with hyssop. I began to just clothe you with embroidered cloth and put sandals of porpoise skin on your feet. And I wrapped you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments and I put bracelets on your wrists and a necklace around your neck. I also put a ring in your nostril and earrings in your ears and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your dress was made of fine linen and silk and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour and honey and oil. So you were extremely beautiful, and you advanced and prospered into royalty. And your fame went out among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was perfect because of my majesty and splendor which I bestowed on you, says the Lord God. With love and kindness have I drawn thee. Not have I drawn thee, but now I've drawn you, and now I show you how much I love you. And I began to embrace you. I began to wrap my arms around you. I began to take you from that dark place, take you from that place of emptiness, take you from that place of barrenness, and I take you to a place of fruitfulness. I began to take you to a place of prosperity, take you to a place where you prosper and your soul will prosper at the same time. I began to take you to a place where you're in me, where you find your identity. Now you can identify yourself in me. You know that, hey, now, and 1 Peter 2 chapter lets you know that I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a peculiar people. But now I know who I belong to. I know who I am. He said, so let's look at 1 Peter 2 chapter, and I'm going to bring it back in. He said, so put aside every trace of malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander and hateful speech like newborn babies. See, that's who we are in our mess. You understand? He said, you should long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may be nurtured and grow in respect to salvation. It's ultimate fulfillment if, in fact, you have already tasted the goodness and graciousness, kindness of the Lord. And I said, as living stones, watch this. I'm sorry, fourth verse says, as living stones, come to him. Come to him, the risen Lord, as to a living stone which man rejected and threw away, but which is choice and precious in the sight of God. See, all the time we have been those that have been rejected. Some of us have been those that have truly been rejected by society, have been rejected by loved ones, have been rejected by friends, and have been betrayed, have felt less than, and have been going through some things. But God said, in his sight, you are choice and precious in the sight of God. You believers like living stones are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. But this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I am laying in Zion, a chosen stone, a precious honored cornerstone. And he who believes in him, whoever adheres to, trust in, and relies on him will never be disappointed in his expectations. His precious value, then, is for you who believe in him as God's only son, the source of salvation. So God is saying that, listen, there is value in you. There is precious value. And that's why when I saw you in your blood, swallowed in that blood, I said live. And not only did I say live, but I showed you the actions, but I came and washed you away, washed the blood away from you and anointed you. So here what God is saying, we told you the Holy Spirit. What God is saying now, the drawing that he did, I drew you, but the drawing now, this is an Old Testament, the drawing now was inwardly by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, begin to tug on you. How many know it? Like when you remember the first time when you gave your life to God, that tugging that you felt. You heard the word of God, and sometimes, oftentimes it was a feeling. You felt something, or you thought you felt something. But that feeling that you felt was that tugging by the Spirit. So that inwardly drawing was the drawing was inwardly. And that Spirit was doing what? Guiding, turning, governing your heart by the Spirit. It was turning that heart, which was a stone, the heart stone that was a heart, and it was turning fleshly. And he was drawing you like, God, I'm coming. And here's the thing about it is that here's what God's saying, that the elements, and it's to be taught, to hear, to learn, and to come. So the first thing is being taught of God. You were being taught about God. You've been taught about Jesus and these things of that nature of that he loved you, he died for you. We were taught the scripture for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And you begin to get this, even the salvation prayer, you was taught this prayer to lead you to salvation. They're saying that, hey, Lord, forgive me for my sins, God. I repent for all everything I said and done that was grievous to you, that grieved the Holy Spirit, God, that I know, God, you said once I ask for forgiveness, you throw my sins in the sea of forgiveness, Father. You said, God, that, Lord, that if I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, then I should be saved. See, we were taught this. And in the teaching, you begin to say, God, Lord, accept me as your son and your personal servant as I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I believe, God, that you died and your son rose again. I think he rose again for my sins, God, and by his stripes I am healed. We were taught this. But being taught, we had to hear some things. Say, he didn't let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Even in and being taught also, you look at 1 Corinthians 2:13. That's a scripture you can look at. You can also look at 1 Thessalonians 4:9. In your own time. But I was taught. I was taught how to pray. I was taught how to get in God's presence. I was taught how to live, and that was the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Because if it had not been for the Holy Spirit, we couldn't even come. We couldn't even come to him if it had not been for the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus talked about it in Matthew. He said in John 6:44-5, Jesus said, hey, unless God allows you to be chosen by me, you can't even choose this thing. Unless God draws you, you can't even choose to walk this walk. You can't even choose to live this life unless the drawing, unless you've been drawn. So God said, hey, guess what? With loving kindness, have I drawn thee? And I'm constantly drawing, I'm constantly pulling, I'm constantly tugging. And it can be a tug of war because I'm not going to let Satan win. See, because you belong to me, I have chosen you as a vessel to be used by me for such a time as this. I chose you in your mother's womb. And while you were in the matrix of your mother's womb, I chose you. And this is what God is saying to anyone on the sound of my voice. I'm going to help you hear what God is saying tonight. There's a reason why you're here. And this is the reason why you need to hear this, because God said, I've called you and I've chosen you, and that's purpose in your life. And even then, in your mess, I saved you and I sanctified you and I filled you with the Holy Ghost. And I've done it before you even came to me, because I'm drawing you now so you can step into your destiny. I'm drawing you now so you can walk into the walk and the works that I've already set before you, even before you thought you made a choice to choose me. See, this drawing here is not refutable. It's an irresistible drawing. It's a drawing that's so triumphant by God that you can't even refute it, even if you wanted to. You can't resist it, even if you wanted to. This is an irresistible drawing, and it's the Holy Spirit, and it's pulling on you right now. That's the reason why you're on this line right now, at this time and at this hour. And that's what God is saying. So let's just take a moment and just begin to praise your God. Begin to thank God for drawing you out. Because guess what? The enemy... He told Peter, said the enemy wants to sift you as wheat. They said the enemy wants to kill, steal, and to destroy. The enemy said, I'm moving around like a roaring lion, seeing in whom I may devour. The enemy wants to devour you. He wants to devour your mind, your body, your soul, and take you to hell with him, for he knows what his destination is. But God said, I come that you have life and life to the full. Not only that, but I chose you to live. And he said, in your blood, in your mess, I said, live. And I'm telling you right now, live. Then he said, I give you a choice. Choose life or choose death. Then he said, choose life, because I drew you for life. For love and kindness have I drawn thee. So I hear what God is saying right now is that there's a choice that needs to be made. You can choose life or you can choose death. Let's look at it. It said, for the very stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Let's look at society. And what stones have been rejected? Let's look at people around you. For the last 3-4 weeks, my wife and myself have been feeding the homeless. And we look at people and we ask the stories and we want to say, hey, they have been rejected by society. You look at it. And that's why Christ said, the poor you have, but you always. The non-productive, the non-fruitful ones. But he said, they have become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. So guess what? God said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. And at such a time in your life, you were one of these. You were one of these stones that were rejected by the builders at some point in your life. And God said, you will become the chief cornerstone because I've drawn you for such a time as this. He said, for they stumble because they disobey the word of God. And to this day who reject him as Savior were also appointed. But guess who you are in verse 9? But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Watch this. Number 10 says, once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from the sensual urges, those dishonorable desires that wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the unsaved Gentiles. Conduct yourself honorably with graciousness and integrity, so that for whatever reason they may slander you as evildoers, yet by observing your good deeds, they may instead come to glorify God in the day of visitation when he looks upon them with mercy. It said, I urge you, under the voice of God, under the voice of heaven, that you begin to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. For you didn't choose him, but he chose you. You didn't call him, but he called you. So we talked about being taught. We talked about hearing. And the next thing is learning. Christ said, learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me, for my ways are meek. You begin to learn about God. You begin to learn more about how he chooses you to live and how he wants you to walk and how he says, just like he just told you. But at one point, you were not a people, but now you are God's. You learned that I'm God's chosen. You learned that I am a peculiar people. I'm a chosen race, a royal priesthood. I'm a consecrated nation. You had to learn this thing. Somebody might have taught you and you heard it. It said by faith, you hear. Well, she just told you without faith, you know, hearing comes by. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you begin to say, God, give me an ear so I can hear your voice. Give me an ear, God, so I can hear your word. And as you begin to hear the word, then you begin to learn more about God. And the last thing we deal with is come. It's come. Christ told him to come. He said, Peter said, God, if it's you, tell me to come. And God said, come on, come. And that's where we are tonight. I hear God saying, come. Come by here. And we begin to just give you honor, God. We begin to give you glory and praise. We begin to worship you and magnify your name and glorify your name, Father. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, come tonight. Come with open arms. Come with your heart. Come with your mind. Come with your soul. Come with all that's inside of you. Yield yourself before a perfect God. Imperfect people, but as a perfect God. Hear the Lord say, come. Let the Spirit, let the Holy Spirit draw you, even yet the muscle, to come. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, God. We thank you for drawing us. We thank you for choosing us, God. Not us choosing you, but God accepting the call and accepting the fact that you chose us, God, by saying, yes, God, we come in, God. Yes, Lord God, we will come. Yes, Lord, we are moved by your will, by your way, your perfect will and your perfect way. It's our portion tonight. We give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. And everyone in the sound of my voice that don't know the Lord as a Lord and person of faith, we give you the opportunity to hear the voice of God and yield yourself to the voice of God. And if you feel that is you, you press 1, and we will begin to pray you through the sinner's prayer, the prayer of deliverance, the prayer of salvation. You press 1, we can recognize you. And if you've already there, we even give God the glory and the thanks for you even the more so. Father, we begin to thank you and praise you and worship for everyone on the sound of my voice, everyone that's here, everyone that's represented, every loved one that's represented. God, and we rededicate ourselves to you tonight. God, I rededicate myself to you tonight by saying, God, forgive me for anything that I've said or done that was against your will, against your way, that has grieved your Holy Spirit in any such way. Father, we thank you, God. We praise you and we worship you. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. And so it is. Now, we're at that hour where you got anything you want to add to, take away from, give, share, whatever is on your heart. You press 1, I can recognize you, and your mic will be open, and you can move forward accordingly. Praise God. 1436, your mic is open.
Good afternoon, Pastor George.
Good afternoon.
I have been listening to you, and you write, the joy of the Lord is my strength. My grandson is on his 9th surgery this year. They keep putting shunts on his head, you know, to keep the fluid off his brain. But the last one they did was last Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, and they found out that, you know, like if you have a salsa, you have the cup in the salsa, and once the salsa break, you replace the cup, but you don't replace the salsa. So my daughter, her spirit told them all new. So when they took the salsa up from under the cup, he had blood clogs up under where the shunt was. And he had to, so that he just came home Friday. Now he had to go back to the hospital. They said the shunt is malfunctioning again. But I thank God for being the joy of my life, because I know he's in God's hand. And I don't need to keep running up there to him, because I know I got to take care of my his sanctuary temple anyway. So I just put him in God's hand, and we prayed. And I claimed it, and I believe it, regardless what the enemy tried to make me think. I'm thinking what God want me to think. God, you was my joy. You was my strength. You can do all things but fail. By his stripes, he is healed. And I know he's going to be all right. And I thought about the book of Job. So I read 7 chapters of Job, and I feel 7 is complete. So I just keep reading, and the Bible is different and different. And I just make it a point, you know, just keep reading 7 chapters, whatever book God I'm led to, or just whichever one I desire to read. And listening to you tonight, it gave me strength. It made me, you know, you were saying things that hit on target when it comes to us trusting in God and believing in what he can do. Just like when you were saying when Peter was asked him to come across the water, Peter what asked him, he presented him to come. But as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he never sunk. So that's what I have to do tonight. I can't think about anything bad. I got to think in my heart, the Lord is my joy, my strength. My grandson's going to be okay. He's only 7, and he done been through a lot of surgeries, more this year than anything. But I just thank God for his glory and the benefits, and I just thank God for everything I have and everything he want me to be. And I just need y'all just keep him up in prayer, because prayer do change this thing. And it do say the prayers of the righteous prevail as much. Our prayers would be get quicker to him than me going up there running up there to him. So I'm trusting God. I'm not going to go up there. I'm just trusting God. And I just thank you today, and thank you for your lovely family. And that's all I had to say. You just keep on doing the good work, and may God continue to bless you and your family. In Jesus' holy name.
Amen, amen, amen. We praise God for you. We praise God for your faithfulness, for your diligence. And God said this is the hour where his compassion is drawn towards you. He said, that's why I said, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This is the hour that his compassion is drawn towards you, drawn towards your grandson, drawn towards the live. This is the live hour. He said, when I saw you in your nakedness, when I saw you in your blood, I saw you when nobody else had pity on you, nobody had compassion on you, I saw you and I said, live. This is the hour where God said, I'm telling you to live. You shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. And begin to speak that over your grandson. He shall live and not die. We speak it right now. We speak life over that young man's life. I know the young man. I know he's a bundle of joy and how he loves the Lord. We speak life over him right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we come against every satanic assignment that would thwart the plan of God, and it's every satanic assignment that thinks that it would even bring harm to this young man's life, even more so. We speak life. God, I command you. You told me the words. You said in Isaiah, command ye the things concerning the works of your hands. I command you to begin to move, God. I command you to dispatch the angels, the medicinal angels, God, to begin to perform whatever surgery is needed, God, without hands, God. They begin to move on his life, move on the stunts and the brain, God, and all those things, that is going in his life, God. This young man has suffered a lot, God. He has suffered a lot, God, but now it's the time for you to move with compassion on him. Let the wind roll the waters, God, and move up with compassion. And God, say live to this young man, God. I command him to live. I command you, God, to speak life into him. I command you to blow life into him, God. You say, by the stripes, he is healed. I command that to be manifested now, Father. The stone that the builders rejected, God. I command this to be the cornerstone of life for him. And for his grandmother and for his mother, God, that they will see the joy, and the joy of the Lord will be their strength, God. The joy of the Lord will be their strength, God, because you are, God, you are joy and you are love, God. and you are mercy. You said at one point you didn't receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. I command the mercy of God and the brand new mercies of God to be his portion, to be bestowed upon him. And I thank you for all that you're doing in his grandmother's life. I thank you, God, for removing the cancer. I thank you, God. We give you glory and praise and honor for that, God. No more chemo, God. None of them, all of you, God, you're going to get the glory. Nobody else will get the glory but you. To God be the glory. And even before we allow Apostle Honor to come on, I speak the same anointing into her life. And tomorrow morning she goes into surgery. God, it's already done. It's already done, Father. I speak healing into her body, God, and even in the recovery period. I'm past the surgery. We're in recovery right now. And I thank you for it, God. I thank you for the restoration, God. I thank you, God, for all that you have done in her life and you continue to do in her life. And, God, even in the blood from the surgery, when the blood comes, God, you say, hey, I saw you in your blood, and I begin to wash it, and I anoint it with the oil, and I say, Rosa, live. I say, live. And I said, no man care for my soul. They said, refuge has failed me, and no man care for my soul. But I hear God saying, I care for your soul, and with love and kindness have I drawn thee. I dispatched the angels already in the room, in the operating room, and dispatched the angels all in the mind of the doctors and the surgeons and those that are of his team. Everyone in the mind is in one accord, and that one accord is with you, Father. No unclean spirit will be able to enter into that room. No unclean spirit will be able to enter into the mind of this young man or the family members. We're not going to even have unclean and impure thoughts. We know that we serve a God that is able. He said, God is able to do to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In us. We told you the Holy Spirit began to draw you down to that tugging. So inside of me, God, I know that that's no good thing, but in the you that's inside of me, God, you consume everything inside of me that's not like you. And so then I can, according to the power that worketh in me, I can begin to draw or allow you to draw me and pull me, God, and I can allow you to draw out what you have placed inside, God. Positive that you put inside of me can be withdrawn for glory, for your glory, for your glory, for your glory, for your glory. And we pray for the co-worker of my daughter. The co-worker of my daughter, Sister Mrs. Cox, Father God, who's been diagnosed, God, and with prostate cancer, we speak life into him right now, God. I have three or four men on my prayer line that have God has cured them and have delivered them from the snares of death of prostate cancer. Another brother on the line, his father had been diagnosed with cancer as well, Marvin Claiborne. So we lift them up as well. But we just ask at your hands, God. You said there is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. So, God, what you have done for others, God, and you're not a God that has respect to persons. And, God, what have you done for others, you'll do for us, God. And we say that you've done it for Jesse, God. You've done it for me, God. You've done it for McBride, God. You've done it for Gilliard. And these are guys that on the prayer line. It's four, five of them. I know personally that God has brought through this prostate cancer piece. And if you've done it for them, God, you'll do it for Mrs. Cox's father. We give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And so it is. 6447, your mic is open. I don't know what's going on, but hold on. Your mic is open, Apostle Arnold.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, Lord. While I was reading Jeremiah, the 31st chapter and the first through the third verse, I went to 1 Corinthians, and the 13th chapter, which talks about love being the greatest gift that we could have. In the Greek, that love is expressed in three different ways. And one is eros. And that's the type of love that, you know, you might have one called human love that you have for one and another. And the other one Eros is what I'm saying. Eros is the sensual relationship type of love. Then there's the other love called storge. And this pertains to the love that you have for your family, family relationships, and obligations. Filio is the love among friends, as close as brothers or sisters. And then the fourth, glory be to God, is agape. And that's the love that God has. That's the love that he gives to us and the love that he wants us to have for one another, because it's a totally unselfish love. And this love comes from God alone. You don't get it from anywhere else. It's the type of love that chooses to continue selfishly loving someone, even when that person does not return the love, or even if they make it difficult. But we've got to love them in spite of. Hallelujah, because that's what Jesus did for us. When he labored in prayer with God and at the Gethsemane, when he was beaten and when he was hung on the cross, it was his agape love. And that's the same love, you know, that we're going to have when Jesus returns. That's the love he wants us to still have. You may have gifts in the spirit. You may be able to prophesy. You may be a great orator, whatever. You may be one that has great hope and esteem for things, great integrity. But those things are going to pass away. You know, hope will no longer be necessary, because our hope will have been fulfilled, because we'll be with Jesus. Hallelujah. The love will remain. Our tongues will cease. Yeah. All these things will go away, because the greatest, which is love, will remain. Prophecies will go away, all these things. But when Jesus takes us back to be with him,
yes,
we're going to have that love eternally. He loves us with an eternal love.
Yes.
Even when we do wrong,
yes,
he still loves us. He said, I'm married to the backslider.
Yes.
That means even if you come away from God, Jesus still holds the door open. And when you come, as he said in hallelujah, Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name,
yes,
shall humble themselves and pray and will seek my face and will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, Hoshaka, and I will heal their lands. I will forgive them and I will heal their lands. As long as we have breath,
yes,
in our body,
yes,
we have room and opportunity for God to take us back, because his love is eternal.
Yes,
it hurts him when the devil can pull us off to the side, pull us away from him, because he wants to hurt God. That's the only way he can hurt him, is to cause us to backslide or to seek more other than God. But I'm telling you, my mother and I were told to go to Emory Hospital. We were given a room number, but it didn't have A, B, C, or any of those numbers to identify it. We looked all over the hospital. We couldn't find it. But we went to see my father's friend's wife that had cancer. And when we were going to her room, I looked up, and at the ward next to her private room was the number we were looking for. And I went in, we went in, and this man was facing the door. His stomach was like he was 9 months pregnant. And his eyes were closed. And I just touched his hand. And I said, sir, may we pray for you? And he said, yes, please. The nurse told us nobody had been there to see him the whole time that he had been there. and not telling you how much Jesus loves him and how much you know Jesus loves you. And he nodded his head, and God said, give him the sinner's prayer. And I gave it to him, me and mother. And we left him. We said, be back to see you. And he nodded his head, okay. We went to pray for the lady. And when we came back, he was gone. God had taken him. He had taken him that quick. He did the same thing with a lady that had been in a coma for 40 days. And we were coming there to pray for some young boys. And my cousin, who's with the Lord now, asked us to come by and pray for this lady. She was an alcoholic. She had been in a coma 40 days. And I said, well, Lord, she's in a coma. He said, give her the sinner's prayer. He said, she can hear you. And I began to give her the sinner's prayer. And I would pause for her to say it back to me. And her lips began to move. And I said, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for saving her. Thank you, God, for healing her. That next morning, my cousin called and said, she's gone on to heaven. And I said, oh, God, why? You healed her. You saved her. Why didn't you let her live? And God said, because if I let her live, she'll go back into the same place doing the same things. But I promised her mother that I would save her. And now she's safe with me. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. We thank him for his love. Even though you may not be serving him like you should, but he still loves you with an agape love. He said, an everlasting love. That's a love that never dims. It never diminishes, no matter what you do, no matter what you have done in your life. You can still be loved, not only by God, but you have somebody that loves you regardless, and they pray for you regardless. And I thank God for that, because I know he loves me. He has saved me so many times from death. He saved me so many times from being hungry. He's always provided. He said he's our God that makes provision.
Yes.
We don't have to want for anything. I've been down to no money. And God has sent somebody to my house with groceries. Oh, he sent them. And they ate and they left money enough to carry me until my husband got paid. I'm telling you, that's the kind of love that Pastor's talking about. That's the kind of love he's telling us that we need to have. Seek him with all your heart. Matthew 6:33 says, to seek him first and all his righteousness. And those things that you desire, you will receive. He will give them to you, but the key is seeking him first. The key is praying. The key is praising him. But the most important is to love unselfishly, to love in spite of.
Yeah.
That's how we got saved. He loved us in spite of all the mess that we had had in our life. He is. There's a little song, Pastor, if you don't mind if I sing it. It says, I keep falling in love again, over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love again, over and over and over and over again. grief keeps falling in love with a love so great, nothing can come to bring us apart from each other. Lord, I've fallen in love over and over, over and over again. We have a love affair between the Lord and I. Nothing can break it between the Lord and I keep falling in love again, over and over, over and over again. Hallelujah, Jesus. That was a song many years ago when we were on Sims Avenue, Sims Street, hallelujah.
Yes.
That we learned that song, and I'm going to learn it again so I know all the words to it. But it's what I feel in my heart. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over. And oh, what a wonderful love affair between my Lord and I. Hallelujah. Have that love for him. Have that love for others. We can't walk in his gifts without love. We can't minister effectively without love. We must have the agape love operating in our lives. A forever lasting love. God bless you. I love you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God for those words and that awesome, beautiful song. Every time Mom sings, she makes me cry. Does anybody else have any words, anything they would like to say before we close out? Any other words? Well, we just thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for the obedience. We just praise his holy name because he's worthy to be praised. We're so grateful and so honored because God just loves us so much. And I just praise him, and I'm so grateful, and I just love him. And I just want to give him more and more and more of me. So on tonight, we just want to say thank you, God, for your loving kindness. Lord God, I thank you right now for your protection. And I just thank you right now for being the provider and being the healer that you are, Lord God. The prayers that went forth for the baby and the prayers that went forth for Ms. Cox's father and for Mom and any other person that is in need of healing right now, just know that God is able and he will do it over and over and over again. So we just give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Until next Thursday, we thank you for being online with us tonight. We thank you right now for always supporting. And we just thank you because God loves and honors your obedience for being on this blog. So until next Thursday, we love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Good night, and good night.
I love you.